Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are speaking about Shaheed Mustafa Jamran. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Dear viewers, we are here in the studio speaking with Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi and we are talking about Shaheed Mustafa Jamran, a very pivotal and important individual who we see played a role in the Islamic Revolution of Iran. So let's go ahead and invite our guests and speak about Shaheed Mustafa Jamran. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, Sayyid Hashimi, to the Islamic Pulse Talk.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah to you and all the viewers. Thank you for inviting me.
Jazakallah, Sayyid Hashimi. Thank you so much for, again, taking time out of your schedule, joining us. We were coming up upon the martyrdom anniversary of Shaheed Mustafa Jamran. And so we thought, you know, what a great opportunity to be able to speak a little bit about this Shaheed. There are probably many people across the world who don't really know a lot about Shaheed Mustafa Jamran, right? But individuals who, when one does a little bit of research, they really shine like stars in the history and the pages of the Islamic Revolution. So to talk a little bit about Shaheed Jamran, we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Thank you very much. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. Again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we have this tawfiq to talk about this great martyr of our time, who I personally have some, you know, connection with, because, you know, one of the first times that I felt somehow the spirituality of a person, mm-hmm. it was the time that I was visiting the place that he got martyred in Khuzestan.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes, mm-hmm. Southwest of Iran. It's in a place called Dehlaviyye. It's a building dedicated to him. And he got martyred in that area, and it was so, you know, mesmerizing for me and amazing for me and all those people who were there, some of the friends of Shaheed Jamran, they would, you know, narrate for us that what happened in that place and time. It was amazing for me. So Shaheed Jamran, Inshallah. For many of the, in that time I wasn't a talib, I was a student in the university. And for many of the young Iranians, and even we will talk, inshallah, about Lebanon, even the Arab revolutionaries, Jamran is a symbol, you know. He Mashallah. Represents many of those values that we are seeking for. But to know Shaheed Jamran, we need to know Imam Khomeini before that.
Interesting.
Because he was raised in this maktab, school of thought of Imam Khomeini. Mm-hmm. Yes, Shaheed Jamran, even before the Islamic Revolution, was so active, and inshallah, I will talk about this. Mm. He went to Lebanon about 7 years before the Islamic Revolution and started to started some sort of activities there. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, personality, because an-nasu ma'adin, people are like the mines, like Amir al-Mu'minin says.
Mm. Treasure then, mines.
Yes. Mm. And they are full of treasures, but they need some miners,
right?
You know, to dig and, you know.
Yeah, that's very well put.
Yes,
yeah.
and to find those, you know, treasures, gold, and to refine that and to purify that. And then Shaheed Jamran is one of those gold mines in his personality. When we talk about Imam Khomeini, like what I said on different occasions in this show, is that kind of a spirituality that comes and originates from the society, not from the cave or self-isolation.
Right.
And Shaheed Jamran is one of the most important representatives of this school of thought. And if you want to show anyone what is the result of Imam Khomeini's school of thought, just point out Shaheed Jamran. This is one of the fruits of the tree of the spirituality of Khomeini. Rahmatullahi alayhi majma'in. Okay. What is interesting about Shaheed Jamran is he experienced and had all those, you know, opportunities or all those chances that many of people, even Muslim people, they spend their life to have those.
They would die for.
Yes, they would die for that. He had, you know, he was a brilliant student in Tehran University. Then he went to United States of America. He did his master's in Texas. And then he went to California and did his PhD in electrical engineering in Berkeley University. One of Berkeley the University. Best universities of the United States of America and of the world. And in that time, he had the chance and opportunity to be a professor in that university. And he had the job. He married. He got married there, and he had a wife and three children in the United States of America. So it's done. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
for
that,
many of us, it's done. It's
yeah,
okay.
It's the end
of the world.
His life is made. Yeah.
Yes, I did everything.
What more could you want?
I'm successful. This is the success.
But I mean, this is so. I mean, this. I want to pause here because. It really is, even in the present day, so we're talking about like, you know, pre-1979.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's
like... So almost 50, 60 years
right,
ago.
Years ago, right? And so 50, 60 years later, now if somebody had the opportunity to, you know, get a degree in their home country, you know, in these, you know, quote-unquote third world countries, right? And then has an opportunity to go to a developed or first world, quote-unquote, country, you know, and pursue higher education, you know, achieve a master's, achieve a PhD, you know, have a family, have a home, you know, have you know, money, bank account, right? I mean, that...
Have respect.
Have, you know, and even in the present day, this seems to be a big deal, and a lot of people,
it's
as
done,
you said,
yeah.
would die for. So 60 years ago, this individual had all, I mean, what worldly you could want from life he had.
Yes, and he was really a genius. He had so many inventions, and even in that time, even if, even when he came back to Iran. But, you know, in that time was the time of the dominance of the Israel over the Arab countries, unfortunately, in the early 50s or, you know, 70s, he decided to leave everything and everyone and abandon all those good things in the United States of America and come to the Middle East. And you know what is interesting? He didn't come to Iran. He somehow felt that he needs to help the Islamic Islamic nation. First, he went to Egypt, and then he went to Lebanon. And he resided in south of Lebanon, in the poorest class of people in that time. Unfortunately, in that time, Shia people were the poorest class and community in the Lebanese in Lebanon, in Lebanese society. And Shahid Shamran in that time, because in Iran it was the time of Shah, many of the ways were blocked. Shahid Shamran then, alongside Imam Musa Sadr, who needs another discussion, inshallah, he started to teach all those young people. He built a school for them. He reshaped the Shia community. He helped them economically, scientifically, and he gave them this education and this courage and confidence with leaving everything. And in that time, Shamran has nothing. He's not a professor in the Beirut University. No, he's in south of Lebanon and got nothing. And he's just an activist now, helping other people. You know, some people may say that this is insanity. And maybe they're right. If you look at this by just this worldly conception. Why? You leave everything for what? And you don't know even if this activity will be successful. You don't know that. You know, maybe the government comes and ruins everything. You know nothing about that. But Shamran had a purpose, had a greater picture for Islam, for the Islamic Ummah, and that is so important. Unfortunately, some of our brothers and sisters, when they, you know, leave their country, when they leave this this space that and this place that they were born in, they sometimes they become universal people, you know. We need to think about the world, think about the climate change, think about these things. We're not just Iranian or Pakistan, Iraq. No, we are this is like a big village.
Yes, a global village. Mm.
And I maybe hope if Western powers, if they thought like that, it was very good. Mm. But they don't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Right. For centuries, for hundreds of years, they oppressed the people of this region.
Right.
And now that we want to do something, our youngsters sometimes, they say, no, we are going to help the entire universe, the entire world, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But you need to think about this area, this region that was always left behind, forced to be behind, and oppressed, all of these resources were sucked by those people.
If I kind of add to the example, so this global village is made up of various different houses, right?
Yeah.
So why would you not respect and protect and defend and build your own house as a part of this global village?
Okay.
You know, that's what they're doing.
If you build that, it will help.
Not only are they building their own houses, but they're destroying ours in this global village.
Yeah. And even if you want to think universally, okay, you have to care about the history.
Yeah.
The history of this region. Shahid Shamran wasn't like that. He wanted to help the human beings, the entire world, but with helping the region which was oppressed and which is the origin of the true teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is so important. This is why he came back to Lebanon. He tried so hard. He established the Amal movement before the Hezbollah. And we can say that the Shahid Shamran is somehow the forefather of even Hezbollah and many of the resistance movements in South Lebanon and in Palestine. And, you know, close to the revolution, after the revolution, he came back to Iran where he was born. And that is important. Shahid Shamran, when he came back, he again dedicated everything. He was the defense minister in the first government of Islamic Republic. But even though he was a minister, after the initiation of the war, he went to the front line.
Interesting.
Can you show me a defense minister that goes to the front? Not just, you know,
Even send their son.
Sometimes we go there to demonstrate ourselves and to give, you know, give our soldiers this message that we are here and we are supporting you. We are supportive. But literally, we're not there. We're not going to fight. We're not going to take any gun. Okay. But Shamran lived in the front lines. Inshallah, we talk about his martyrdom. And you will see what happens to him. And he tried so hard to develop, because in that time, all the ties with Iran was cut.
During the Fatwa Muqaddas, the sacred defense.
Yes, in the name and in the guilt of resisting against those oppressors. So we've got nothing, despite the fact Saddam Hussein had everything.
Yeah, well over 50 countries supported him in this.
He was a very nasty dictator. You know, with all the principles, with all the standards of the Western liberalism, Western ideas and the school of thought, with all those standards, Saddam was a bad guy. But they helped him with every means they could.
Yeah, everything. Money, wealth.
With the bullets, missiles,
intelligence,
chemical missiles, money, intelligence.
Oil.
And we've got nothing. Shahid Shamran, with his brilliant mind, this is where your expertise can be beneficial, came here and started to develop the first and basic layers of the defense force of the Islamic Republic of Iran was founded by Shahid Shamran.
Interesting.
For the first time, the first submarine, you know, some initiations in creating missiles and things like that. And he was really a genius person. And he really dedicated everything. Because even when he was in Lebanon, his American wife, because he married a woman in United States, they came with him to Lebanon, but she abandoned Shahid Shamran because it was so hard, and we're not going to blame her. It was so difficult.
Yeah, the poverty and the
poverty. They've got nothing in Lebanon, and Sheikh Chamran got married again in Lebanon with a Lebanese sister. I think she's still alive, as far as I know.
Interesting.
Yeah. when he was in Iran, Sheikh Chamran, he started to establish the first partisan, Basiji kind of force. Somehow Shahid Chamran is the father of Basij. Mm. Because he, alongside Imam Khamenei, they were cooperating with each other. Mm. That is so important.
Right.
They established a setad, in Farsi we say setad jang-hai namunazzam. Namunazzam is the opposite of classic, battles. Mm. They established
kind of guerrilla.
Yes.
Guerrilla warfare type thing.
Yes, yes. Mm. Not classic army. It wasn't classic army. It was so different because Shahid Chamran figured out that we cannot defeat Saddam with a classic army.
No, yeah, because the whole world is supporting Saddam.
Yes, in the armor and in the money, everything. Saddam has many things that we don't have. So he started to, shape this kind of battle against them, which is the origin of the future fights of Hezbollah and Iran and Syria. The mastermind of all of that was Mustafa Chamran, rahmatullah. Yes.
Sayyid, I'd like to ask you, in your research, were you able to kind of pinpoint what exactly it was that encouraged or drove or motivated Sayyid Chamran to move from all this wealth and this? Because I think we've already seen him move, and we're moving really quickly, towards his martyrdom, it seems. But I wanted to ask you, in anywhere, did you find what it was this, motivating factor? What clicked in his mind, that made him do this great move?
Yeah, very good question. Sheikh Chamran, Sayyidina, Sheikh Chamran was really a Irfani figure. Mm. Even before the Iran-Iraq war. And we can see that through his notes. Mm. He has different books, different diaries. A book is called Lebanon. Mm. It's all about Lebanon. And he was always searching for a powerful source of that spirituality. Right. And he saw that, as I said, through this social, societal activity that he did in Lebanon. But then he found this in Imam Khomeini in Iran. That is so important. Imam Khomeini was the representative of everything that Sheikh Chamran wanted. Sheikh Chamran wasn't with Imam Khomeini from the beginning. He was a young person. He was graduated from university and then went to the United States of America. He knew, for sure, he knew Imam Khomeini, but he wasn't close in that time. But then gradually he got closer and closer and found Imam Khomeini that he has some notes about Imam Khomeini. Yeah. He represents everything that he wanted.
Right.
So he dedicated his life in the cause of Imam Khomeini, for the cause of Imam Khomeini. Mm. I think he had this potential inside and he could find Imam Khomeini as the source of his dreams. Mm. Yeah.
Well, this, what I was going to add was that it seems like, so in Farsi they say, you have this dard-e-dil, right? It seemed like he had this concern for the people. Yeah. He especially had a concern for people for his own region, He had this, I say the maybe in Farsi they say this ghuyur-e-islami or this this religious honor, this honor and this pride for his people, his community. Where he grew up in, his region, the Muslims, the Shia, And that kind of pain and that kind of concern started to drive him towards this side of the world.
Mashallah.
And detached him from this wealth and status and these kind of things. And then, as you said, it seems like that concern that he had within himself for the Muslims in general and the downtrodden, and the oppressed, he saw, as you said, manifested in Imam Khomeini.
Yeah.
And he said, these are the same things that... please continue.
It was really, mashallah, very, very beautifully said, Sayyid. Many people, they found their lost one in Imam Khomeini. Mm. It's interesting. even the leftist communist people, even those people who literally didn't believe in any spirituality, they believed in the materialism,
the social justice idea,
social justice as they say, even the Iranian liberals, many of them, they felt there's something in that man.
Yeah.
And I know even until now, they cannot explain that. Those who do not believe in the real spirituality, in the truth in this world, they cannot describe the personality of Khomeini.
Which is a comprehensive personality.
Yes, yes. They, at last, they said this is a charisma that you could find in some other leaders. But when we look at Khomeini, it's different. Shahid Chamran, with that spiritual, religious background, and it wasn't the nationalism. Because first he went to Lebanon. He's Iranian.
He's Iranian. He went to Lebanon.
Why Lebanon? First Egypt and then Lebanon. Why?
Right.
He understood that. And he looked at Imam Khomeini as the means of elevation. That is so important. Others, they would see Imam Khomeini as a very powerful figure that they can, you know, somehow stick to Imam Khomeini. And by that,
they can
elevate themselves. Even they, maybe it wasn't always a selfish aim. Maybe they wanted a social aim, some of those Marxists. They thought that with Khomeini, they can defeat this regime of Shah. Okay?
Sure, sure.
But it was so important that they could not understand what is this Khomeini. Chamran could understand that. That is a difference between Chamran and some other people. Like Masoud Rajavi, the head of the MKO, Chamran, because he had that conception, he could somehow understand the personality of Imam Khomeini, and he lived in the ocean of this spirituality, and he succeeded. He could reach.
Yeah. So you were going to go towards the martyrdom of Shahid Chamran. I want you to not forget that part.
Yes, Shahid Chamran was always in the front line, as I said. And Shahid Chamran, he has different notes he used to write for himself. And these are so beautiful notes. In this show, I just brought, it is as said, the final note of Shahid Chamran. This is before his martyrdom. He is not aware, apparently, about his martyrdom because his martyrdom was sudden. You know, a bullet came into his brain and I think his neck. And after a while, he couldn't breathe and he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, he has a very beautiful note here that by that we can understand who is Chamran. And maybe he is greater than
what we think.
What we think. Yeah. First, I read the Farsi then the English translation. He says here, it's so beautiful. Ey hayat, ba to vida' mikonam, ba hameye mazahir va jabarutat. He says, oh life. He's talking to his life.
Ey hayat.
Yes, I say goodbye to you with all your manifestations and every grandeur thing that you have. Ey pahaye man. He's talking to his feet. میدانم که فداکاریت و به فرمان من مشتاقانه به سوی شهادت سائقوار به حرکت در میآید. اما من آرزویی بزرگتر دارم. به قدرت آهنینم محکم باشید. Oh my feet, I know that you are self-sacrificing, and at my command you eagerly move toward martyrdom like lightning. But I have a bigger dream. Be firm in my iron strength. این پیکر کوچک ولی سنگین از آرزوها و نقشه ها و امیدها و مسئولیت ها را به سرعت مطلوب به هر نقطه دلخواه برسانید. And he says what? This small body. Bring the weight of this small body. Bring the weight of dreams, plans, hopes and responsibility of this small body to any desired point at the desired speed. And then he said what? در این لحظات آخر عمر at this final moments of my life. How he knows that?
Yes, it's quite amazing.
در این لحظات آخر عمر آبروی مرا حفظ کنید. شما سالهای دراز به من خدمتها کرده اید. از شما آرزو می کنم که این آخرین لحظه را به بهترین وجه ادا کنید. And he says what? In these last moments of my life, protect my honor. You have served me for many years. I wish you to spend this last moment in the best possible way. Can we believe that a military man is writing that?
And who was a civilian?
Civilian. I know he's fighting.
Electrical engineering.
Yes, because in the fight, in the battle, you know, your heart, sometimes your heart turns to stone.
Yeah.
You won't talk like that. He is the soldier of Imam Khomeini.
It really reminds
and
me.
And he is
of Shahid, Shahid Hash Qasim Soleimani.
Shahid Hash Qasim. And they are all the students of Karbala. Because in Karbala, you know, everything that you hear from Imam Hussein alayhi salam's companions is soft words, beautiful words.
Even though they're the most brave and courageous of fighters. And
yes, beautiful words. Ya nafs min ba'd al-Husayn hum. وَبَعْدَهُ لَا كُنْتَ أَنْ تَكُونِ أَبَا الْفَضْلِ عَبَّاسِ. It's beautiful. Very beautiful. Look, it was always a contradiction. That if you are doing tough jobs, how can you have soft hearts?
Right.
This is what we see in Amir al-Mu'mineen. جُمَعَتْ فِيهِ الْأَزْدَادُ. All the contradictions are in him. Together.
Yeah.
Without any contradiction.
Right.
And these are the students of Ali. And in the fight, he doesn't write, I'm going to behead every single one of those people. No. He's talking to his feet. He's talking to his life, to his heart. This is said, I don't know how to say that.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah, it's
we don't have such a thing in our world. Yes. And really, unfortunately, this is saddening that many of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they don't know this follower of Ahlul Bayt.
And maybe even worse, you know, Sayyid Hashimi, it is to the point where I think naturally human beings, you know, in this fitrah type manner, in their nature, they're looking for these kind of individuals, right?
Masha.
And so, and this is why you see this giraish, this kind of tendency to move towards Hollywood heroes.
Yeah, yeah, mashallah.
You know? And so many of us are
those
stuck
artificial,
in these artificial, you know, fake, not real,
mashallah,
you know, heroes which have their own problems, by the way, you know, whether it's ideological or they have issues in these role
but
models that they've created.
They represent some of the fitri powers, you know, and tendencies.
And so, but here we have real life,
you living
know, human being, living individuals who are these role models, who were like these, who are these unsung heroes, if you will.
Yes, and he's not just a powerful person. You see the power and compassion, the power and love, the love and intellect, science and religion. Every contradiction in our life, you see that Shaykh Al-Masih's. There is no contradiction.
You know, Sayyid, I want to really ask you, I know we might be going towards the end of the program time-wise, but I wanted to make a connection, you know, with our lives on a very practical level, you know. And that's this example that we take from Shaykh Jamran, from the many things that we learn from him. But one of the things, and I'd like to get your comment on that, is this idea that you can have, you know, status and wealth and position, and you know, you can have anything that you and everything you want on a very material, worldly aspect, you know, but you give it up for religion, you give it up for Islam, you give it up for the wali of your time, the imam of your time. And it's really beautiful, we have these different themes now mixing together, whether it's Karbala or it's martyrdom, you know, or Shahid Jamran, and these kind of things. If you'd like to comment on that, this idea of when the time, you know, when it is necessary, you know, that you have to sacrifice these things for a much greater cause.
This is because of the bigger picture. These people saw and believed in the bigger picture of this universe. Because they believed that إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْ. They believed in that. This worldly life is just a game and amusement. Okay, this wasn't a slogan, just a slogan for them. No, it was their
they
belief.
Understood it. It was a reality.
So when you see the bigger picture, will you stick with the smaller part of this puzzle? Make yourself busy. When you see that if you study here, you will be qualified to get into Harvard University. Okay, will you spend your time just playing PS5? You won't do that. This is all about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
They had, they saw, and they believed, because always the bigger pictures, it requires sacrifice and pain, even in this worldly life. Mm-hmm. If you want to be successful, you have to go through many trials and turbulences.
Right, right.
And if you want to reach something higher and greater than this, you have to suffer this pain.
Yeah.
This is what Shai Chamran is suffering.
Can I ask you one more thing before we end? And that is, I'd like to, so, you know, naturally, you know, we made this connection with Imam Hussein, and it's interesting because Muharram is coming up quite soon.
Sure.
And this idea of shahadat and sacrifice and, you know, I mean, just this, and I really encourage all of the viewers to go and, you know, read more about Shahid Chamran, and to really, because it's, you know, he really, and again, I emphasize, because many of us in, you know, the Western world, we have a relatively good material life, you know, but we're so attached to it that my fear is, and even for, you know, myself, my fear is, that when the time for sacrifice comes, I'm not able to detach myself from all of these worldly things, you know? And so the sooner you prepare yourself, you know, you understand the bigger picture, as you said, you know, the easier it is when the time comes to make a decision. You know, like Shahid Chamran, he just packed up and he moved.
Yeah.
And he didn't just move to, you know, another developed country. He went to the poorest neighborhood, you know, the poorest area of Lebanon. I mean, it's a huge thing. You know, but it takes time to be able to. And I want to kind of close our talk show today on this idea that when, you know, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, when his reappearance does occur, that the people have to be ready to sacrifice him, and they have to take these people as role models, if you could comment on that.
Yes, there's a narration from Imam Salah, salamullah alayhi. I'm not, you know, quoting exactly, but...
Yeah.
It is like إذا خرج القائم, things like that.
Sure.
Imam Mustafa sallallahu alayhi says that دخل فيه خرج منه من كان يرى أنه من أهله ودخل فيه شبه عبادة الشمس والقمر. When the Imam comes, reappears, Imam al-Mahdi sallallahu alayhi, خرج منه من كان يرى أنه من أهله. Some people who thought that they are the companions of this truth, means the imamah, they will exit the circle, kharaja, go out of the circle of imamah.
People who thought that
they thought
were part of the
maybe,
inner circle.
Yes, maybe inner circle, they thought that
our
they are Shia people, yeah, companions.
And they will turn, actually leave.
Yes, leave and turn away. And maybe stand against, we don't know. وَدَخَلَ فِيهِ شِبْهُ عَبَدَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. And some people who are like moon worshippers and sun worshippers enter this truth. It is
it's really strange.
Mind-blowing, because if you think about that, and if you just consider yourself, maybe one of those who go out from this line, it doesn't give you a peaceful life anymore.
Yeah.
So you need to test yourself. We need to test ourselves. And we don't need to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us every day and every week and every year. On different occasions. Even with a like or comment. Or creating a content, a social media.
Sure.
Okay? Or in you know, helping your mosque or your Hussein in that country, in that city, or, you know, preserving the youth of your community from falling down into that filth, okay? These are all your obligations. If you now are really ready to willingly sacrifice your time, maybe your money, and your reputation, which is the worst thing, if you are ready to do that, inshallah, and if I am ready to do that, inshallah, I'm hopeful that in the end of times, when Imam al-Mahdi asks me to come, I deliberately go to him. But it's not easy.
But it's not easy.
Yeah.
Jazakallah, thank you so
before
much.
Before saying
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no,
I wanted to finish this note of Shaykh
Shaman
because it's so beautiful.
No, please,
inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, through this note, give us the barakah from the radiant soul and the spirit of Shaykh Shamran to give this barakah to us and every viewer that is viewing this video now. Then he says, he was talking to his feet and now to his arms and his hands. Ey dast hay man, qavi u daqiq bashid. Ey chashman man, tizbin bashid. Ey qalb man, in lahazat akharin ra tahammul kun. Oh my hands, be strong and precise. Oh my eyes, be sharp. Oh my heart, endure these last moments. Be shoma qoul midaham ke pas az chand lahze hame shoma dar istirahati amiq و ابدی آرامش خود را برای همیشه بیابید. من چند لحظه بعد به شما آرامش میدهم. آرامش ابدی. I promise you that after a few moments, all of you will find your peace forever in a deep and eternal rest. I will give you peace in a few moments, eternal peace before the martyrdom. And the final line, چه این لحظات حساس وداع با زندگی و عالم لحظات لقای پروردگار و لحظات رقص من در برابر مرگ زیبا باشد. And he says what? The sensitive moments of saying, how beautiful are these sensitive moments of saying goodbye to life and the world, the moments of meeting the Lord and the moments of my dance against death must be beautiful. This is Shaykh Shamran and this is our example of today's life, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us this tawfiq to follow his steps. Thank you, Sayyid.
Jazakallah. Thank you so much, Sayyid Hashimi, for taking time out again and joining us and talking about this very beautiful star from the maktab and the school of Imam Khomeini by the name of Shaheed Shamran. Jazakallah khair wa afiyah. And thank you, dear viewers, for joining us on the talk show. We were speaking about Shaheed Shamran, his life and a whole bunch of other aspects and beautiful themes that came out from discussing this honorable martyr, this beautiful shaheed. That's all from us for now. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.